currently, we are just going to go straight to it's time for that wonderful part of the show that we know and love as Blair's Animal Corner with Blair.
She loves our creatures, great and small. Biped, millipede, no pet at all. If you want to hear about animals, she's your girl. Except for giant pandas and squirrels.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to KDVS Davis. This is 90.3 FM, student and community-run radio from Davis, California. Briefly, as we wait for the next program to begin, we're going to continue listening to This Week in Science.
What you got, Blair?
You know the ancient saying.
Do I?
Time to lean. You have time to clean. Well, cichlid fish think something very similar. They actually motivate workers in their society via punishment.
Oh,
so,
what?
Yes, this is a study out of Osaka Metropolitan University. They have demonstrated that cichlids employ physical punishment to elicit helping efforts from their offspring and other subordinate members of their fish society, indicating advanced societal and cognitive skills that, you know, heretofore has previously only been seen in higher level vertebrates, whatever that means. Anyway, humans have often used punishment to promote cooperation, maintain social order. In many situations, we now know that is not the best way to motivate us humans, and there are other ways to motivate us, but at least for these fish, the cichlid fish, they have found that they use punishment to encourage cooperative behavior. So they have subordinates or helpers that assist dominant breeders in defending territory, maintaining breeding shelters, helping raise young, all these things. And so by observing their behavior in a laboratory setting, they were able to manipulate and measure the effects of punishment on helping behavior. They found that the dominant breeders would physically attack idle helpers, including their own offspring, to promote them to cooperate and help in activities. And so those who experienced such aggression, they would increase their efforts. They would help right away. But in contrast, helpers who engaged all the time proactively did not get beat up, basically. So they do, in fact, appear to use physical punishment to elicit cooperative behaviors in a group setting. And so, of course, this proves that punishment is not exclusive to human societies. Duh. But it also just shows another method of cooperative behavior. Sure. Fish, like humans, employ advanced cognitive abilities to sustain their society, said one of the lead researchers. This compels us to reconsider the notion of intelligence, not only in fish, but across the animal kingdom. So interesting that they're equating this with intelligence. Not sure I would make that leap, but it is interesting that fish, which, you know, we understand they live in societies, they work cooperatively, that they might use physical punishment. I think it's more of a language question. Are they able to kind of are they able to portray something more subtly, or that do they need the big stick? And in this case, they need a big stick to get their point across.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
oh, you're muted, Kiki.
It's a form of communication. It is a form of communication. Yeah. Like, if you look across the animal kingdom, the one that jumped out to me right away in this is when wolves are doing dominating things to get the, you know, when the pack leader is dominating the other wolves to get them sort of in line and to reestablish the hierarchy and that sort of thing. This happens in the ape world, of course. It's actually pretty common in the animal kingdom to have some sort of like aggressive physical interaction to get the group in line. it's amazing that it's been with us since fish.
Probably since before.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Although I will say, Justin, a topic for another day, there's really no such thing as an alpha male in wolf society. That is a weird thing that is perpetrated through human society. So we need to talk about that more later.
Wait a second. Maybe
in a future mini-sode or after show, let's talk about that.
Yeah, we have to, because
blown
that's
out of proportion
like
and pushed into this weird alpha male thing.
But
in
isn't
human
there
society,
like
a mess. But anyway.
But wait a second. Now we have to talk about this now. Isn't there like a breeding pair and then there were others, like, haven't we studied wolves to the point where we know that there's an alpha pair?
In fact, the lead researcher on wolves in the United States regrets his initial paper on alpha male behavior.
Really?
Because it has completely ruined wolf studies and has permeated into human culture, into what an alpha male is in this really silly situation. I'll share some stuff on social media if anyone's interested. Find me on, you know, Facebook or Instagram or Threads. I don't know.
Wherever.
And I'll share some stuff out later.
Yeah. Toxic masculinity
ultimately,
is alpha males.
There are power dynamics in animal society.
Yes.
I will give
yes.
you that. And there can be dominant and submissive individuals in a society. And we have seen this behavior permeate throughout the animal kingdom. It's not
baboons,
that surprising. I love that this is like
bonobos,
kind of specific. Hey, stop messing around.
Horses?
Help out. Awesome. Do your chores.
Do your chores. I think that, yeah. Parents everywhere. Help. Be a part of this. If you're not helping, what are you
children,
doing?
Corporal punishment does not work. But
not
with
anymore.
Cichlids, it appears to work.
What I think is interesting and could be looked at more from this is the genetic underpinning of the different behaviors of helpers versus not helpers. Is there a type, and how do those different individuals do as they grow up and they go into breeding, or they become the ones that get mates and kids, and you know, how does that work out? So I think the whole understanding of this cycle would be really interesting in terms of cichlids socio-psychological study. Justin, do you have to head out?
Yeah.
I've got 5 more minutes.
So he really wants to hear about cancer von Beethoven.
Cancer bees. Let's talk about it. And I thought about this because we've talked about COVID sniffing dogs before on the show, and dogs have been able to sniff out lots of disease, but this is a new study out of Michigan State University looking at the fact that honeybees can detect the biomarkers or chemical concentrations associated with lung cancer in human breath. So honeybees
what?
Sniff out cancer. Yes. So they wanted to see if they could distinguish the specific chemicals. So they actually created a synthetic recipe for human breath that had 6 compounds that all related to the chemical makeup of the breath of someone with lung cancer. So they were able to make this synthetic cancer breath, and then they made a synthetic healthy breath mixture. Yes. And then they used.
Hello, this is DJ Ura. You're listening to She Hates Everything on KBS Davis, 9.3 FM. My bad for being late. This is the second time I've been late for a show. It's because I took the YOLO bus instead of like the Unitrans buses. And I think that just goes to show I shouldn't be taking the YOLO bus anymore. Just because, like, they're just so flaky. You honestly never know if they're going to be on time really early. Especially if you're at a stop that, like, that's not really popular. But I was just like, where's this bus? And oh, well. I still have 20 minutes left on my show, so that's good, at least. This is episode 2 of She Hates Everything. When Quiet Threats was leaving, they were like, please hate. I need to hear some hate. And I'm like, I'll bring you the hate. So today, I'll be talking about, well, this episode is titled, She Hates Transphobes. And this mainly focuses on a UCD employee named Beth Bourne, if you don't know who she is. I'm not just targeting a poor employee just for the fun of it. But Beth Bourne is a very known raging transphobe, I would argue TERF, radical feminist, etc. And with Pride Month coming to an end, this episode goes into detail about her, and she's really known for sharing her open transphobic ideologies online. Like, if you scroll down her Twitter, it's just crazy. You're just like, what the heck? And we're going to be talking about her recent and famous video of her verbally attacking drag queens in a Hawaiian hotel lobby. But for context, Beth Bourne is an employee, as I mentioned before. She works as a Steps Plus program coordinator, and that's the app you use whenever you pay for your parking here at UC Davis. And if like you don't pay, or like you park overnight or something like that, her company, wherever she works at, are in charge of distributing tickets. So she's literally a person who like gives you a ticket, which is like something to think about. And she argues that she does not share her ideologies at the workplace. And I'm going to disagree. We'll get into that. But first, let's talk about her video of her attacking drag queens in the Hawaiian hotel lobby. But before that, a trigger warning for now. And a disclaimer. Trigger warning for transphobia, of course. And like hateful speech. If you don't want to hear anything like that, feel free to tune out. Of course, if you like. And here is the disclaimer. The following views presented in this hour do not reflect the views of KVS, its sponsors, or the University of California. With that, let's get into Beth Bourne and her transphobic ideologies. So this video starts circulating. It was my boyfriend who actually showed this to me. Shout out Employee 221. He showed me this video where, for context, like, Beth Bourne was, I'm pretty sure she was in vacation in Hawaii. And, what happened? She was in a vacation in Hawaii, and then there was a group of drag queens just in the lobby doing nothing inappropriate. They weren't being loud, or there was no drag show going on. It was just these drag queens in drag just like hanging out in the hotel lobby. I think they were waiting for their room or something, and they just got out of like a show. And when Beth saw these people, like, she started like shaking in rage. And I'm just like, why are you so mad? Like, these people are just existing. It's one thing if they're like being obnoxious or like whatever, right? But they're just existing, they're just chilling. And here she comes, like, shaking in rage. And she goes back to her room to get her phone, comes back down, and starts recording these drag queens. And she starts saying all these like really disgusting, vile things. And I unfortunately can't play the video of the drag queens like recording her, just because like it's just really like even if I censor it, it's just still like really bad. But I'll link the video into the description if you'd like to watch it, of course, if you'd like. But she mentions them being these like sex clowns, and that they're a danger to children, and starts worrying about her son, and like, what if her son started dressing up as a woman? Is that okay? And saying how it's misogynistic that drag queens exist. And I just want to say, I don't think there's any way we can, like, no one's going to change this woman's mind. Because this is just, like, one incident, but scrolling down to her Twitter and everything, and I genuinely believe there's no way you can change this woman's mind of what she thinks. And I think she does it all in the name of protecting children, because she herself is a mom, as I mentioned before, and she's part of the Yolo County Library for Children or something like that, I think. Let me check. Let me fact check. She is Moms for Liberty Yolo County Chair. And I just think it's just crazy how she feels this way. Especially in the name of, like, children, like, protecting children. And it's just that really transphobic idea that drag queens, and not just drag queens, but also trans women, are just very sexual and, like, predators, and that they're all pedophiles and everything like that. And that's not true. That's just, like, the totally, like, blanket statement of, like, saying all of these trans women are this, even though, like, one or two of them were. I think there was only, like, one case where a man pretended to be a trans woman to go to the women's bathroom to, like, be a peeper. But that's only one case, and out of all, like, the millions of trans women that exist in the world, that was just, like, one person. And I wouldn't even argue they were trans women just because he pretended to be a woman. I don't know. And it's just, like, that comes from that transphobic rhetoric of an idea that all trans women are dangerous and, like, a danger to society. And I think it's just also because a lot of drag queens, a lot of them have, like, 21 plus shows or 18 plus shows. But there are drag queens out there who are not being inappropriate. There's, like, one that comes to mind. I forget her name. But she goes out of her way to read books to children at libraries. And she doesn't do anything sexual. She doesn't do anything inappropriate. It was almost like, and I want to compare drag queens to clowns, but, like, performing how, like, clowns go to, like, libraries to read to children, right? And on that note, it's one thing of, like, being concerned for your kids. Like, let's say your kid is scared. Like, I'm going to say the example, like clowns or, like, cartoon mascots, right? Your kids might be, like, kind of scared of them. And, like, you're like, okay, I don't want my kids to, like, go see them. Because you know for sure, like, they're scared. Okay, that's one thing of, like, okay, let me avoid. Like, same thing with, like, drag queens. Some kids find them really intimidating. And it's just because a lot of them, like, have, like, really big hair and they're really tall. And, like, a lot of kids find them intimidating and scary. Okay, that's fine. You can just go the other direction, right? But you don't see people, or parents, I should say, like, going out of their way to yell and scream and verbally harass, Mickey Mouse, for example, at Disneyland because their kid is scared of them. Or verbally harass a clown because their kid is scared of them. You shouldn't be seeing it. I don't think that's, like, not a common thing. But time and time again, people are verbally harassing drag queens. And I think it's just the idea that they're dangerous. Even though, like, we've seen, like, cartoon mascots also be depicted as dangerous in, like, horror movies, or, like, clowns as well in horror movies. But at the end of the day, people know this is just makeup. Like, and maybe there was a few bad apples. Like, there was, like, the one clown that was, like, a serial killer or whatever, right? That was a bad apple. That doesn't make all clowns serial killers, right? Same thing with drag queens. There might have been, like, a few bad apples, but doesn't, like, make all drag queens this, right? So that's just my personal perspective of it. Drag queens are just performers, right? Same thing with clowns, same thing with cartoon mascots. They're just performers. They're not, like, doing anything inappropriate. So that's why, like, if she's doing this in the name of protecting children, I don't think she would have gone this far if it was just a clown and her kid doesn't like clowns. I don't think she would have gone that far. So that's why I don't think she's doing this in the name of protecting children. I think she's doing it just to be hateful. And you know what's funny? Not only is she super transphobic, but she's also, what's the word? A Zionist. Oh my God. Because she keeps, I was like scrolling through her Twitter last night, and she keeps retweeting about anti-Palestinian things and like interacting with pro-Israel like tweeters, I guess, or users. And I'm just like, that's like, who would have thought? Like, it's just like spoon in the kitchen. Like, who would have thought? Right? And not only that, but she has like she has like full support of a person named Ollie London. And if you don't know who Ollie London is, this is the same guy who, he's a British white man who underwent surgery to look Korean, quote unquote, because he loved the boy band BTS, the Korean boy band BTS, so much he wanted to look like one of the members named Jimin. So he went through multiple surgeries to make himself look Korean and like try to pretend, like put on this like whole charade and just like not even appreciate the culture, like a cultural appropriation, I would argue. And I feel as though if someone like him, Ollie London, came to my Twitter and was like, I like what you're saying, like thumbs up, like I have your full, you have my full support, I would just delete my account just because like there must be something wrong with what I'm saying to the point he agrees with me. And the reason why I say this is just because, like, again, like he's a cultural appropriator and made himself try to look Korean. Now I should say that he doesn't do that anymore, I'm pretty sure. However, he's like super conservative all of a sudden. Who would have thought? Again, spoon in the kitchen. Who would have thought? But the thing is, like, he involves himself with like American politics even though he's British, and it's just like, question mark. I'm pretty sure he still lives in the UK, and I'm just like, where are you involving yourself in our politics? But whatever. But even then, I'm just like, spoon in the kitchen. But back to the point where if I found out that he's like liking my tweets or whatever, I would just like delete my Twitter. I would just deactivate, just because like there's something that's embarrassing, in my opinion. Same thing with like people, if like Keemstar, for example, who is like really well known for his like really conservative ideologies, if he came to my Twitter account, he was like, I like what you're saying, thumbs up, I support you, I would deactivate. That's embarrassing. Same thing with like Elon Musk. I would deactivate. I would just like I would just delete myself all over in the internet, because there's obviously something wrong with what I'm saying for those people to agree with me. And I don't think Elon Musk or Keemstar has replied to any of her tweets or ideas. Let me know if they have, if you'd like to call in, of course, if you like. But I know for sure Ollie London has like fully it's like it gave his support to Beth Warren, and it's just kind of crazy. But with that, we're gonna take a short little break. I'll be back with more commentary about Beth Warren. I'll see you guys in a bit. Peace. Thank you.
Here at KDVS, we're searching for a few public affairs hosts.
Imagine talking on air with underrepresented communities.
Reviewing movies.
Or even singing live karaoke. In case you're wondering, anyone is eligible.
And as you can tell, the possibilities are endless.
If you're interested, please email us at programming@kdvs.org.
Sorry about that. I just got a call. I only have like a minute left, but yeah, I just want to say happy Pride Month. Pride Month ended yesterday, I believe, but that doesn't mean that gay people and the LGBT community just disappear for a month. We're still here. We're still proud and we're still loud. But with that, thank you for tuning in to She Hates Everything. I'll be here next week hanging out even more. We're going to transition to the next show. And again, thank you for tuning in. Peace.
Around here.